This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Eek. Today, my guest is Dr. Rajini Saranandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, joining me via Zoom for her monthly show. We're going to discuss how to get our kids back to sleep. So with schools being closed for quite a while now and daily routines of kids disrupted, parents are really at their wits' end, I think. And one of the reasons is because children's bedtimes have gone out the window. And, one of the contributing factors could be the increased use of gadgets. We also recognize that some children and teenagers may also be experiencing mental health issues. So we want to try and unpack some of these factors and get some tips from Dr. Rajini on how parents can get their children's sleep back on track during this pandemic, especially with public schools in Malaysia reopening in stages starting from next week. How are you, Dr. Rajini?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello, Shariq, and hope you're doing good too.
Yes, and I'm of course one of the parents that I've just described. I think every parent should be familiar with these challenges. And of course, we'd like to hear from you if you've had problems with your children's sleep routines or daily routines during this period. And if you'd like to get some advice from Dr. Rajini, do call us 0377332900, or you can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Rajini, why all this fuss about sleep, besides the fact that it gives parents peace of mind? Why actually is sleep so important, especially if we look at developing children?
Yeah, I mean, sleep is basically a time where your brain goes to rest, your body goes to rest, actually. And it can basically regenerate itself. Yeah, it's a time where your metabolism sort of drops a little. But also from the perspective of brain developments, you know, sleep is during the time of sleep. You also have certain growth factors that are secreted in your brain, which are necessary for brain development, and it's very important. Hence that. Children get enough sleep, not just adequate sleep, but especially for young children. And I'm talking about the preschoolers, the infants, toddlers, preschoolers, and even the primary school children. It's also important that the timing of the sleep, so it's not just the duration, but actually the time that they go to sleep, that's important. It's also the time, you know, you've heard of the story about how grandmothers used to say that if you don't sleep, you're not going to grow. And that's also true, because in your sleep, during a certain period of time during your sleep, you have growth hormone that's secreted, and growth factors, which not only are important for brain development, but also growth. Yeah. We also know that sleep is very, very important across the ages for your mental health. If you're sleep deprived, it's more likely to affect your mood. You're more likely to have difficulties with processing information, thinking rationally. We know that because, you know, people have a lot more accidents. Road traffic accidents when they've nodded off because they've not had enough sleep the night before. And don't forget, it's also important for immunity. We know that when you're sleep deprived, it does affect your immune system. And, you know, this is where sleep is important, essentially for all your body systems to cleanse itself, detoxify, and recharge again for you to face another day.
And is this applicable even in older children as well, teenagers?
Yes, and not just that. I think also adults, yeah. We know that even as adults, the effects of sleep deprivation on our mood, our mental health, on our thinking skills, on our performance in our work, how we problem solve and react. Our reaction time is also affected by sleep. So right across the ages. But, you know, I guess when we're thinking about younger children, we're even more worried when they're sleep deprived because of the effects on brain development as well.
So from the perspective of a child's daily well-being or what we parents and caregivers can actually see and observe, what's the impact of good quality sleep on children's behaviors and their ability to participate in their daily activities? On the flip side, then, what is the effect of poor sleep?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I give you an example maybe to illustrate this. So I was sent a little boy who was 4.5 to my clinic. He had moved to a new preschool, and after about 2 or 3 months at the first meeting, the parents were alerted to the fact that their child had really poor attention, and they even suggested that their child needed to be assessed for ADHD. And so when I saw the child and talking to the parents, you know, about sleep, one of the things that came about was the fact that he kept waking up through the night. And his sleep was disturbed. Reasons for why he was waking up to the night: he was scratching because he had developed eczema. And, you know, he would always have a blocked nose and he would snore in his sleep. And later on, we found out that actually this has been a problem that had only been going on for the last 6 months. And when we probed further, there was a change in family circumstance. Grandparents' family dog came to live with them because grandpa had passed on. Grandma was finding it difficult to manage. So cut a long story short, his eczema and his blocked nose and his snoring was felt to be because of allergy to the dog's fur. Yeah. And so as soon as that was managed and he slept better, even the teachers in school realized, oh, this boy's attention is so much better now. And I think that, okay, so that's a more severe case maybe, but, you know, it just goes to show that if he hadn't been sleep deprived for those 3 months, they might have seen a different child and they may not have been worried so much about ADHD. Not that the boy had it because he didn't fulfill all the criteria, but what I'm trying to say is it can affect attention in young children so much. They're more grouchy, you know, and attention is so important in all aspects of your development, not just from a learning perspective, but socially. If you can't pay attention when you're playing with a group of children, your friends are going to leave you out. You know, you're going to be left behind. So I think, you know, sleep is important in that aspect. And if you look at even younger children who have tantrums, you know, you go back and it's very important to find out their sleep history, because toddlers who have very disrupted sleep or their sleep hours are shortened for whatever reason often have more significant tantrums. They are not able to regulate themselves. And sometimes sleep deprivation can also be because, you know, they're hungry children because they've been picky with their food and they're not eating enough. So, you know, one thing often leads to another. And also, if you don't sleep well, you're grouchy, you're not going to finish your meals.
So it becomes a cycle.
It is like a vicious cycle in a way. So I think it's very important to look at sleep seriously in our children.
And you've already said timing and duration is important. Duration meaning the amount, timing meaning what time. Is there a good rule of thumb that parents can follow?
So if we look at infants, infants spend most of their most of their time sleeping, especially in the first 3 months of life. They often sleep for 17 hours in a day. They maybe wake up for their meals and go back to sleep. As they get more alert, they may spend slightly longer hours awake. We're all very good at making sure that our infants have enough sleep. But when it comes to toddlers, we forget that they still need a good 12 hours sleep in a day. While parents assume that that's, yes, that's 12 hours, 12 to 14 hours in a total day. We also need to look at the nighttime sleep. Toddlers often still need a nap. But what's important is that we don't have long naps, so much so that they get deprived of their nighttime sleep. And what's important to know as well is that, when a child has had a nap and they wake up, they're not going to feel sleepy again for possibly the next 6 hours or so. Mm. Yeah, they're going to be alert. So you can imagine if your toddler wakes up at 5 p.m., most toddlers are not going to go to bed then till 10 or 11 p.m. at night. Yeah. And more so preschoolers. So it's the timing of the sleep that's important. And we want children to be asleep well before midnight. Yeah, a lot of our Malaysian children go to sleep too late. The parents say, oh yeah, he sleeps at 12, but he wakes up at 10 in the morning. And then he has a nap again from 3 till 6. So he's actually getting 13 hours. But then if you look at the timing of his nap, he's actually only going to bed at 12. And remember, for all these growth factors to come out and do its work, you need to be in your deep sleep. And children take longer to get into deep sleep than us adults do. So actually, we want our children to be asleep maybe by 10, which means the latest they should be going to bed is, something like 9 o'clock, because it takes time for you to settle down to go to sleep.
So meaning if they are only sleeping at midnight, they won't be able to achieve that deep sleep phase, is that right?
Yeah. Well, they will take longer to get into that deep sleep phase. And when we talk about things like growth hormone and factors, quite often we know that they're secreted in our brain between something like 12 and 5 a.m. in the morning, quite often when it's sunrise again, and there's light outside and you're sort of awake and, you wake up to light, you don't get that. You don't get that secretion of the peak secretion of growth factors in your brain. So it is going to affect you in a way.
Mm. I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Malaysian kids tend to go to bed late. And then you see in Western countries, the kids are in bed by 7 sometimes in the evening, I'd say, when Malaysian kids are probably just, sitting down to dinner, if not later. Do you think that's then a practice we should emulate?
It's always going to be difficult, isn't it? I mean, as somebody who lived there and then came back here, we were very good about getting our kids to bed early there when they were young, only because it meant we had some free time after that to do what we needed to do, without having help at home and stuff like that. And for me, it was very crucial that, the kids go to bed early so that I can get on with whatever I needed to do. And it became a routine. And it's quite normal there for your kids to wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning, having gone to bed at 7 a.m. in the morning. I had a conversation with a family recently and they were saying, yeah, we have a problem. He goes to sleep so early and then he wakes up so early.
That's
right. I said, what time is waking up so early? He goes, he's up by 6 a.m. I said, that's actually good. That's actually a healthy sleep.
Not
pattern.
Good for parents who just want one more hour.
Then you need to teach them to entertain themselves while you have that 1 hour.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's about what's good for our children and it's not about what's convenient for us. And yes, having that sort of sleep pattern is probably more healthy for our, especially our preschoolers and stuff. Of course, it's very hard when you are stuck in a traffic jam, you only come home at a certain time and your children want that time with you. But I think, maybe we should all go to sleep earlier and wake up earlier and spend that fun time in the morning instead, rather than keeping awake till midnight or so.
I mean, it's a huge cultural question because our workplaces tend to value working beyond 7 or 8 as well. So lots of mindset shift required there. That's a conversation, a separate conversation, I suppose. What we are discussing today is kids' sleep routines, why sleep is important, especially in the formative years. But after the break, we'll get into how we can help children achieve good sleep habits and what effect has the pandemic had, and you know, how do we sort of get back on track with your sleep routines. If you are a parent or caregiver that has been experiencing some challenges with your kids' sleep routines, we want to hear from you. Call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back with consultant developmental pediatrician Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan right here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today, I'm speaking to consultant developmental pediatrician, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan. We're discussing children's sleep routines, how the pandemic may have affected these sleep routines, and how to get kids back on track. For many of you, your kids will be going back to school when they reopen in stages starting from next week. So if you are concerned about your kids perhaps having been going to sleep really late, waking up late, sleep schedules are just all over the place, we'd like to hear from you. You can WhatsApp your questions if you have any for Dr. Rajini to 018-789-8899. You can also call us 03-7733-2900 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Rajini, assuming if kids had been having some sort of regular sleep routines before the pandemic, how has this pandemic, all the various MCOs, school closures, affected children's sleep schedules?
I think worldwide, if you just look at research and things like that, a lot of papers coming out now across the world saying how children's sleep has been affected. I think even adult sleep has been affected. I think the biggest thing is, like you said, Xiao, this routine of going to school. And not just going to school, but literally going out. I know of families where they've been stuck indoors, especially those who live in condos or flats and apartments. And, we had one family in our clinic at UM the other day, and, the mum was saying that she basically kept her kids in the flat, a PPR flat, for basically 2 months. In the first MCO, she didn't even let them go out. So we said, but how did you keep them occupied? And she said, gadgets. And they were on hours and hours of screen time, not just gadgets, but TV. It's sad in a way. And she was struggling because, her three-year-old was sleeping at 2 a.m., her child with autism, who was 5, was sleeping at something like 4 a.m. And so everything had gone to pot. So I think, what we saw was that a lot of children were sleeping a lot later. Mm-hmm. In many instances, duration of sleep actually reduced. And that may be because, once the rest of the family is up and about and moving around the house, children get disturbed by the noise and the noise that's coming from the road because the cars are already on the streets, or just the fact that sunlight is out, and you're more sensitive to that. The other thing is, of course, is the lack of a routine and lack of physical activity. For many children nowadays, they don't, with COVID, many have not had that outdoor activity time. And even the kids who didn't have a designated time where they spent playing outdoors, the fact that they got out of the house, went to a different setting, that change in environment, the change in sensory experiences, gave them enough stimulation so much that they felt tired later on in the day. But that wasn't happening. Yeah, so multiple reasons why maybe children were not falling asleep as per usual. Plus, remember, when sleep gets disrupted, your meal schedules get disrupted as well. Mm. And, you know, I know of families where not just because they couldn't afford it, but the kids were just not fitting into their meal schedule. So the kids were waking up at lunch, so they were not having dinner.
Okay.
And then, you know, they would have their dinner, and then maybe some snacks, especially junk food later on when they were hungry at night. So they were missing out on a meal as well. So
do you think a lot of it, or some of it, may be due to some emotional issues that children are going through?
Okay, so with some of the preschoolers and primary school children, and, you know, teenagers, maybe we'll talk about them a little bit later, but if you know, we forget that we can feed into their anxiety. So we do know that with the COVID pandemic, you know, a lot of kids have been worried. Yeah, because the adults have been worried. Mm. And as much as, you know, we think that they don't understand, during TV programs, there were adverts coming out, you know, duduk di rumah, stay at home, don't go out, pictures of the virus in comic form, etc. You ask any preschooler, kenapa tak pergi sekolah? Why didn't you go to school?
COVID.
Oh, coronavirus. Mm. COVID, yeah. Any preschooler will tell you that, I think, mm-hmm. if they have the ability to speak. So, you know, I think we don't realize that in sort of drumming in all the SOPs and talking about, no, you cannot go out because there's the virus, we actually indirectly create anxiety in children as well. Mm. And especially with the preschoolers and the primary school children, their understanding of how it spread, etc., is very much determined by what we feed to them. So if we give them incomplete information, that scares them even more. Or if we keep scaring them with, oh, you want me to go out and buy you your favorite food? Then what if I get COVID and then I end up in hospital? Who's going to look after you? Mm. Or if you go and touch everything and put your hands in your mouth and you get COVID, mommy cannot come and stay with you in the hospital. Or, you know, you hear that. I mean, I hear that even in malls, mm-hmm. You know, when I'm going to work or when I'm in the, you know, in the shops, I sometimes hear that as well. So all this causes anxiety, and anxiety, of course, will affect them in different ways.
And what about teenagers?
Sorry, what about teens? Yeah, and then, you know, if you look at, even in the preschoolers and the primary schoolers, the lack of social interaction can make a child feel more insecure. And then that brings us to the teens, because I think they have been really affected by this, being stuck at home with your parents, not having your social circle, not being, although we say they connect socially on social media, many of them miss out on the social activities. And that in itself affects their mental health. And when your mental health is affected, you know, be it anxiety, anger, coming out as feeling sad or depressed, low mood, all that affects your sleep as well. Mm. And we know with teens especially, you know, many of them tend to watch a lot more Netflix, you know, there's all these free movies, etc. So to occupy their time, they've been doing that as well. So that can also affect sleep.
Does the actual use of gadgets, you know, the impact of looking at screens for a more prolonged period of time right now, does that have a physical impact on the ability to sleep well?
Yeah, so, you know, what makes us sleepy and what makes us actually fall asleep is when it's nighttime, you know, the brain gets a signal that, you know, there isn't very much daylight through our eyes, and that then tells our brain that it's nighttime now. So melatonin production, melatonin is a hormone in your brain, a chemical in your brain, and production of melatonin increases. You start to feel tired, especially if you switch off your lights, and you eventually fall asleep. What makes you awake and hence, you know, going outdoors, being out in sunlight, your brain melatonin production falls. So you don't feel sleepy when you're walking outside. So you, if you know, if you've had a bad night the night before and you're tired, you'll be yawning at home, you'll be yawning at work. The minute you walk, go outside and you start walking, going on your brisk walk or taking the kids to the park, you wake up. And it's not just the exercise that's waking you up, but it's actually the sunlight, you know, sort of feeding back through your eyes and telling your brain, melatonin, stop coming out now. Mm. And so you become more alert again. So in what's been shown is that when you use gadgets, especially, or even watch TV with LED screens, that affects melatonin production. Okay, so then your brain doesn't produce enough melatonin to make you feel sleepy. So it's almost like the birds who keep chirping because the street lights are on. You know, they're getting confused because, you know, they would go to sleep when it's dark, but with our new street lights, LED street
light pollution.
The light pollution. You know, birds are also staying awake longer.
So sleep problems in children and birds. What about non-typically developing children, Dr. Rajini? Are there any specific challenges related to their sleep?
Yeah. So if you think about typically developing children, many non-typically developing children, especially children who are on the autism spectrum or have attention deficit hyperactivity, or even children who are, you know, borderline hyperactive, etc., not having that energy release by going out, etc., is difficult for them to fall asleep. Yeah. So, you know, if you are already struggling with your typically developing child, my heart goes out to parents who have children who are not typically developing, because for them, routine is so important. And when there isn't a routine, you find them, they get more agitated. And that results in more behavioral difficulties. Falling asleep is difficult. Then that feeds into those behavioral difficulties further. Mm. So, you know, I think we have seen a lot more children having challenging behavior through the lockdowns. Thank goodness this lockdown, the government said you could go out for exercise. And I know the authorities were aware that children with special needs could not go out alone. And you know, many parents told me this time when they did continue to take their children out for exercise, they were not stopped even in the initial phase of the lockdown in January. So I think that's something that you know, we do have to be mindful of if we have to shut down again.
But also, are we actually aware that sleep may be the root cause of a lot of these issues that we see in children?
I think many families don't see that. I think many families sometimes don't see sleep problems as a problem that needs to be addressed. Quite often, when I ask parents, how's his sleep? The answer I get is, oh, it's fine. Then I say, okay, tell me, what time does he sleep? And they say 11 o'clock. And then I go, what? And, you know, my face changes and they go, is there a problem? Mm. Oh, but my nephews sleep at 11. My niece sleep at 11. Mm. You know, the sibling has always
slept. It's normal for everyone around them.
Yes. And you know, I always say this, you know, it maybe sleep or lack of sleep or abnormal sleep affects people in different ways. But, you know, if we want to optimize someone's function, we want to optimize development, sleep is something that we often forget about. People always highlight nutrition and, you know, the environment, etc. But sleep is also one of those factors.
All right. I'm speaking today to consultant developmental pediatrician Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan. We're discussing children's sleep routines during this pandemic. After the break, what can parents do now? Schools are going to be reopened soon. It's back to the 7:15 school bell for some of the kids. You know, what can parents do to get their kids' sleep back on track, you know, in time for them to start going back to school? If you have any questions for Dr. Rajini, call us 03-7733-2900. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll get into that. How can children transition back to healthier sleep routines after this short break? BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Ik, and with me, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician. We are discussing one big problem that parents have been facing. How do I get my kids to sleep? Sleep is, of course, a perennial issue for parents, I think. And no matter what age your kids are, you're probably facing different kinds of sleep issues. But this pandemic has presented a different layer of difficulties. What with schools being closed, daily routines being disrupted, increased use of gadgets, and of course, some anxiety on the part of children who are aware of what's going on with the pandemic. And, you know, it may be affecting their ability to sleep. Well, so we've gone through quite a lot about why sleep is important for children's physical growth and brain development, for their mood and their behaviors, even their eating habits. We've talked about how this pandemic, how parents, I suppose, can try to be more aware of how this pandemic has been presenting issues for their children's sleep in both typically and non-typically developing children. Now, how can we fix this? What can we do to get our kids' sleep routines back on track, Dr. Rajini?
I think, you know, school's going to open soon. Is it too late? Well, you know, sometimes you need to get back to that routine before you can fix your sleep. But I think, you know, if you can start going back to a routine in your day-to-day. So, for example, you know, if your child's been sleeping much later, so let's just say 11 or 12 o'clock, and on a normal school day, he would be in bed by 9:30. You're not going to be able to move it back straight away. But what you can do is you can do it gradually. So we say try and get back to a daily routine where they start the day with having breakfast. So start waking them up a little bit earlier than what they would normally have. Normally, we would say adjust by 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah, because if you try and adjust by an hour or even half an hour, sometimes it's too much of a change for a child. So start waking them up 10 or 15 minutes earlier every 2 or 3 days, if you're able to. Start with a regular routine of breakfast, lunch, dinner. Start scheduling outdoor time. Yeah, remember the brain needs to know that it's daylight out there, and it's, you know, when it's nighttime, it's got to be dark. So start having some regular outdoor time, especially mornings. It's a good time to get out, so it really wakes up the brain, and having a little bit of outdoor exercise. And for some children, they also need a little bit of outdoor in the evenings where they can really get to run around, just to have that last burst of energy release so that they can regulate themselves heading towards bedtime. Bedtime routines, especially if you have preschoolers and toddlers, yeah, having that wind down time. So it could be that, you know, they've been outdoors, they come back, they have a bath, they then have their meal. So if you're going to give them screen time or gadgets, you should really be shutting it down 1 hour before bedtime. Ideally, if I'm really honest, especially if you have children who are very addicted to it, you want to do that a lot earlier, so maybe even up to 2 hours before bedtime. And don't have any gadgets or screens in your room where your child is going to be sleeping. Try and avoid caffeinated drinks in your children. Now, what caffeinated drinks, you may be wondering, things like Coke, chocolate-based drinks. So if they have to have milk before they go to sleep, try not to give them something that has chocolate in it because it has caffeine as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Have a wind down routine where, you know, you have a little bit of chit chat, no jumping around on the bed, no activities that are going to overstimulate them. Even maybe a bedtime story. If you have pets, try not to have them in the room because that often gets children excited. I would start off that way and see whether or not you can gradually get them back to it. For some children, it's got to be a shock to their system. And I can
and
tell
parents.
You, older children.
Everything.
In my own experience as a parent, the first day was hard for my daughter, not for a lot of reasons, but one reason was the fact that she had to sit at a chair because her online lessons were not just on a chair, but sometimes on the floor. Mm-hmm. So that evening she came back and, you know, she needed a nap and actually got her back into the routine of going to sleep a bit earlier and things. So, you know, for some children, it's got to be that shock to their system, especially for the teens, I think.
Mm.
They won't buy into all that. But encourage them to go outdoors, encourage them to have meals at certain times.
So for some kids, you may just need to throw them into the deep end and that may kick start.
Yeah, practical life, isn't it? I can tell you about reducing the sleep time by 10 to 15 minutes, but it's not going to work. Teen, I can tell you.
Absolutely. And even the primary age children as well. And we have a question here from Saravan, who has alluded to the addiction to devices. So he says his son, aged 11, has been addicted to online gaming and, you know, he does not show interest in his studies or even outdoor activities. He's hyper at night and that affects his bedtime. So what can he do?
Okay, I mean, setting limits, it's going to be difficult if you've been not been restricting screen time. You're going to have to start it now. I would say to you, maybe start to set reasonable limits. So, for example, if it's been unrestricted, let's start with something realistic that you negotiate with your child. There are some apps where you can actually get, you know, it sort of cuts off so you don't have to physically take the gadget away.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, Screen Time is one of them. Some of them you have to pay, but some of them you don't. So I would suggest, you know, maybe start with some of those apps that automatically cut off
connection.
Screen time. Yes, it sort of switches off your access. Or more drastic measures, you know, cut out data. If you have home internet, you can control it to some extent, yeah. With an 11-year-old, you need to sit down and maybe discuss this and have some sort of contract going where you say, all right, you know, let's do this. If you comply, then, you know, maybe we can work towards something so you can have more hours at the weekend, etc. But it's going to take time if you do feel that, you know, your child is addicted. I would strongly encourage you to send your child back to school because, you know, that may help to break the routine. Mm. And try as a family maybe to get out of the house a little bit more now. I'm not telling you to go to malls and sit in a restaurant, etc. Just getting out of the house so that the temptation to be with the gadget is less as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my heart goes out to parents because we know how difficult it's been for our kids. There's a lot of guilt involved and a lot of overcompensating, hence leading to here, you want the gadget, go for it, you know?
Yes, and you know, as a parent, I've been more liberal, and as you say, because you feel that, you know, they at least I felt that it was her only connection with friends, especially through this last MCO, where she could not see them physically, and it was, you know, her way of connecting with them. And you know, it's hard. You went through the first MCO, you managed to get them back around, school started, and then you had the CMCO, and it was tough. And then it never ended, that CMCO. That's the kids, right, never went back to school, right? Mm-hmm. At least with the first MCO, eventually, after, 4 months, they did go back. But if you look back since October till March, it's almost going to be 6 months. And kids have been a bit smarter this time around as well. So I think, you know, it's been hard, but, you know, if you do have a child who's addicted, as much as you may be scared about your child going back to school, maybe that might be the best thing for them to try and break that cycle.
That shock, you know, like pouring cold water on them and just get them back into it.
And you know, we forget, we always think that, I think I talked about sleep hours for toddlers, and even school-age children, they need 9 to 11 hours of sleep. And people think once they're teenagers, you know, 15 and above, they don't need much sleep. But actually, they still need 8 to 10 hours. That's what's recommended. Mm. So a minimum of 8 hours of sleep is still very important in their life.
Mm. You know, for kids who have never really had that kind of regularity, is it really ever too late for them to develop good sleep routines?
Never too late. You know, I think even as adults, there will be periods in our life where, for one reason or another, we you know, our sleep routine breaks. But I think it's never too late to try and get your child back into a sleep routine, you know, as parents, yeah.
Do you have a final message for us today, Dr. Rajini?
I think, you know, as a society, we need to look at sleep seriously. You know, maybe for adults, being stuck at home hasn't been as bad, but it's definitely affected children's sleep. And we seriously need to look at ways that we encourage families to get their kids outdoors, to get their kids into a routine. And, you know, I think it probably is something that we need to do and talk to even school-going kids so that they start to understand why we harp on them going to sleep earlier, because they're going to be the adults of the future raising the next generation of kids. So
We just want to quickly share something that Elvin has WhatsApped in. The caveat is that he doesn't have children, but he suggested to get kids to do chores, and from there they can earn some time on the screen, do things like wash dishes, washing the driveway, hanging the clothes. I know you do encourage that, getting kids to do chores.
Yes, definitely. And certain chores shouldn't be rewarded, though, Shawik. It should be a responsibility. And certain chores can be rewarded, the extra chores of washing cars, etc. But looking after your own room, I feel that when you come to a certain age, so you would never reward a child for tidying up his toys, even a toddler. You praise him, but you never give him a chocolate or, you know, a bit of screen time after. But you can reward certain chores that are beyond that.
Absolutely. You know, we did speak to Dr. Hung Liang Chu yesterday, the president of the Malaysian Pediatric Association, about how schools can reopen safely. So if you missed that, you can check it out on our podcast, because she did talk about why it's important for kids to go back to school and how parents can be reassured and sort of speak to schools to make sure that all the SOPs are maintained and complied with. So check that out on either our website, bfm.my, or on our BFM app. Thank you so much, Dr. Rajini. I've been speaking to consultant developmental pediatrician Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan on children's sleep routines. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.